This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So recently, I was told that we were given two ears and one mouth for a reason, to listen twice as much as we speak. I once had a friend who boasted that his hearing aid was the finest one available. I asked him, what kind was it? He answered, about 230. Should I just move on, was that? Okay. I wonder, have you ever been in a relationship, a friendship or a romantic relationship, where your friend or partner just talked all the time and it was impossible for you to get a word in edgeways? I wonder if that was a positive experience for you. And this got me thinking, could this be what it's like for God sometimes? We have a lot to say, but are we listening? This morning, as part of our series on prayer, we're going to be focusing on listening. Liz spoke last week about perseverance in prayer, and I think listening requires perseverance. And Liz used an interesting phrase about the benefits of having to wait for answers. Listening to God is about more than just putting our phones on mute and closing the doors. It requires perseverance. It requires an emotional commitment, not just to hear, but to listen. So this morning we're going to read a passage from John chapter 10, to help us with this topic of listening in prayer. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, just put up your hand and someone from the welcome team will hopefully come along and give you a Bible. And if you don't own one, then please feel free to keep that Bible and take it home. So in John chapter 10, John is one of the biographies of Jesus that tells us the story of his life and his teachings. So we're going to look at John 10, verses 22 to 30. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The work I do in my Father's name testifies about me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. I and the Father are one." Now, I often catch myself saying to Ethan, my oldest child, "Ethan, are you listening?" And he's had all of his medical checks, so I know that his hearing is fine, but is he really listening to me? In this Bible passage, we can see that the religious leaders around Jesus hear what he says, but they are just not listening. Now, when I was younger, my friends and I liked making prank calls. We would often call other people's friends, and sometimes we would pretend that we were a takeaway, calling people to confirm back their order. Now, we caused a lot of confusion, but we had a lot of fun. And we were never worried about getting into trouble because the person on the other end of the phone didn't know who we were. They had no idea of the voice behind the phone. Now, when a friend calls you, how do you know it's not just a prank caller like the teenager me? You know, because they're your friend. You spent time with them. You know how they talk. You know the expressions that they use, the tone of their voice, and the changes in their pitch when they're happy or when they're sad. That's the way it should be with God. You know him, his character, his nature, his interests. You recognize his voice and his involvement in your life. Do you know God's voice? In a media-saturated age, we hear many voices. TV, radio, the internet, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, emails, text message, and many more. We have the voices of family, friends, colleagues, preachers, and even celebrities. In an age of communication, there is a lot being said. But how much listening is there? Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." The image of the sheep and the shepherd would have been well understood in the time of Jesus, but perhaps we are less familiar with it today. So I want to show you a quick video which illustrates this point. It's only 2 minutes long, but I think you'll enjoy it. The video shows you some tourists on a farm who have been taught the language used to call sheep, and they're given a chance to try it. So shall we see what happens?
One more time.
Oh, one. Oh,
look at them, look at them.
They are coming. Oh my God. Oh my God. I can't believe it. Oh my God. This is amazing. Oh my God. This is amazing.
One more. Yeah, Eunice made him go away.
Oh my God.
Was that cool or what?
Yeah.
You will never have the same again.
It's a great video, isn't it? It's amazing. I think it's really helpful to us in putting this passage into context. The sheep hear the words of the tourist, but they listen to their shepherd. The shepherd has dedicated his life to rearing the sheep. They have known his voice since they were born. To draw close to God, we must be willing to invest in our relationship with God and not expect it to be instant, but to develop it over time. It takes time, effort, practice, and patience. Hearing from God is more than just putting your phones on mute and closing the doors. It requires an emotional commitment. It means becoming still enough on the inside, despite the craziness on the outside. So how can we be better listeners to tune in to what God is saying and recognize his voice? I'd like to make four practical suggestions of things that I'm trying and that I'm still working on, and see if maybe you could try these things too. Number one, set aside time dedicated to him only. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Whilst it may sound easy, actually making time to be still can be really challenging in our super busy world. It's hard to get quiet, and even harder to stay that way. Prayer often gets interrupted by a "hold on sec." The phone rings, someone's at the door, or the children need you, or there's a notification on your phone that needs attention. In the biographies of Jesus, we see that he regularly took himself off to a quiet place, sometimes on his own, sometimes with a small group of close friends. Jesus sought out lonely places, places without distractions. Now, I took up this challenge in the recent months of prayer and fasting, in which the theme was waiting on God. And I was amazed how difficult I found this. It should feel natural, as it is something that we are created to do. And I just remember sitting there and saying out loud, "Well, this is a bit weird, God. I have no idea what I'm doing." But as I committed to it, God began to speak. And as I sat in the silence, I saw a picture of a gate at the end of a garden, and someone was knocking on that gate door. As the picture unfolded, I felt God was saying that there was an invitation for me, and all I had to do was open the door and let him in. Another time I tried this, it just really wasn't happening. I just got blank, nothing. And I said to God, "I just don't know how to do this today. I feel like I'm standing in front of a brick wall and I just can't get through." And at that point, it would have been really easy for me to give up and not carry on. But I decided to persevere. So I put on a podcast to give me something to focus on, and it was about listening to God by Rick Warren. And partway through, he said this: "Does it ever feel like that you're standing in front of a brick wall and you don't know how to get through?" I was like, okay, if that's not God reaching out to me, then what is? I paid attention. I kept listening. And this resulted in a really precious moment with God that changed the way that I was feeling before I took the time to be still. Number two, tune in all the time. Now, in our family, we love to go on holiday. We save up for it all year, and we make it a priority to invest in our marriage and to invest in our family relationship. But imagine what our holiday would be like if we just ignored each other for the rest of the year. Or imagine if we set aside time to just communicate with each other once a week, maybe a Sunday, but ignored each other the rest of the week. Life would be chaotic. Our family would not survive. In the same way, while special times set aside for God are fantastic, listening to God should not just be at dedicated times, but should be all the time. I mentioned that Jesus sought out those times free from distraction, but he also communicated with God all the time. Jesus put it like this: "I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. Whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." For Jesus, listening to God was a constant activity. 1 Thessalonians verse 15 encourages us to pray continually. If listening is a part of prayer, it should be something that we aspire to do all the time. So let us practice listening to God in the day-to-day, not just when there's a specific reason to pay attention. The more we pause and listen to his voice, the more we will find our ears tune into it. We become more familiar with it, and it can become part of our minute-to-minute, hour-to-hour experience. Number three, recognize the variety. God interacts with us in a variety of ways, and it's too easy to judge others or compare ourselves to others or become cynical. But God is endlessly creative in how he communicates with us. So let's celebrate that diversity. Let's celebrate that he does speak to us all in different ways. Now, in the Bible, God spoke to Daniel through visions, Peter through a rooster, and Moses out of a shrub. And there's a less well-known story where Jesus spoke to Balaam through a talking donkey. That's not been one of my experiences, but it's possible. There are hundreds and hundreds of God speaking to people in the Bible through songs, dreams, vision, nature. And God can still speak through these means and many more today. Through scripture, art, song, through other people. The list goes on and on. God's voice is distinctive and personal to us. God speaks to us in the way that we are wired, the way that he created us and made us. So let's not assume that God is going to speak this way or that way. Affirm others when God speaks to them in a different way to you, and be open to hearing in different ways, to experience that richness of God's voice. And most importantly, let's be confident with how God speaks to us. Embrace it and allow ourselves time to become familiar with it. Finally, number four, have an open heart. Listening to God requires an emotional commitment. And in the video that some of the small groups will be watching this week, the phrase used is having a soft heart. Listening requires the faith that God is speaking and the will to engage with what he is saying. It's not just a physical act, but an emotional one. In the Old Testament, David had this kind of heart. He once wrote, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you." If you know the story of David, you will know he was far from the perfect man. In fact, he made some terrible errors of judgment and was an appalling role model in some areas of his life. But he had a heart that was open to what God was saying. We need to be like David in the Bible. Be honest with him. Tell him any frustrations or fears or doubts we may have about being still and listening. Ask him for the ability to recognize the difference between his voice and our thoughts. And ask him to reveal the way he speaks to you and get into that rhythm with him. We need to allow our hearts to soften, give ourselves space. Not let our fears or our insecurities define us and prevent us from letting go. Engage with listening to God as an act, an emotional act, not just a physical one. Let me return to the question I asked at the beginning. Is there a difference between hearing and listening? Now, if there was something wrong with my husband's hearing, we would go to the doctors, have some tests done. Maybe he might need a hearing aid or might need to have an operation. But what's the best response if his hearing is fine, but he is just not listening. In the same way, there is a lot we can do about hearing from God. We can come to church, study the Bible, go to small groups, read study books, go on retreats, maybe follow tips and advice. But to listen requires an emotional commitment. It requires the faith that God is speaking and the will to engage with what he is saying. In the Bible, there's a famous story about a prophet called Jonah. He had no problems hearing from God. In fact, he heard his voice clearly. And it's recorded in Jonah chapter 1 that God said, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it." That is crystal clear. It's much clearer than the way God usually speaks to me. But Jonah chose not to listen. He tried to escape on a boat to the wrong destination. The consequences were severe as he was thrown overboard and swallowed by a whale. It's a great children's story, but it's more than that. It challenges us to think about what it means to listen to God. Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Hearing is just the mechanics of ears and signals in the brain, but listening requires more than just putting your phone on mute and closing the doors. It requires an emotional commitment. Let me conclude by praying for us. Thank you, Lord, that you are speaking all the time. Give us faith to know that you are always speaking. I pray that you will help us to listen. Give us the emotional commitment to pay attention to what you are saying. And I pray that in listening, we will respond like the sheep called by the shepherd, hearing your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'd love us to have a bit of time for God to continue to speak to us and see what he's been saying and what's on your heart. So I'm going to invite Liz to come up and Joss, and just invite you to all stand. And I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. And I'd really encourage you to put out your hands if you want to, as a way of being open just to receiving from him this morning. So, Father God, we thank you that you are speaking all the time. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We ask for more of you, Holy Spirit. Would you come and continue just to speak to each of us here this morning now, Lord? Just come, Holy Spirit.